Lord, thank you for your presence that's here with us. You know, for 91 years, you've never left us and you've never forsaken us. We're here for a reason and a purpose this morning. Whether we've been here for 50 plus years, it's our first Sunday. God, you have this ordained moment for a purpose. And so, Father, we look to you. God, as I think about 91 rich years of history, that there's so many things to be thankful for. But God, we're thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the truth that it brings to us. All these years later, it still is so applicable to us. And so, Father, would you continue to minister, speak to us, heal us, cure us, help us to break free of everything that goes on that's so against what you want in our lives. In Jesus' precious name. Would we hold fast to that in Jesus' name? Amen. Well, I'm a bit of a disaster this morning. We haven't started yet, and I'm already crying. I love the Word of God. These aren't sad tears. These are tears of joy, man. I'm just so excited to share this with you. If you remember during Easter weekend, we went through Palm Sunday. We had Good Friday. We did Easter Sunday, and we looked at a few of the scriptures, and as I was reading through that, I didn't want to skip over something about Jesus flipping tables over. It was so awesome. And if you have one of these Action Bibles this morning, you can turn to page 678, and you can see Jesus flipping out and flipping tables over, so that would be good for you. Then the Pew Bible this morning, I apologize, I don't know where it is, man. It's in there somewhere. But here we go, Matthew chapter 21. I want to look at, as God has been kind of orchestrating, as he always does, when Pastor Rob Bedard from our district office was here, when Pastor Ben spoke last couple weeks ago, when Len from our board member, former pastor, spoke here, it's been this theme of emotions. Like, how do we process our emotions? And when Jesus flipped over tables, our thinking is that anger is all of a sudden acceptable in some context. And I want to look at this and hopefully shed some new light for us. So in Matthew chapter 21, verse 12, so we got to get a bit of a context again. Remember, Jesus goes into Jerusalem. There's Hosanna and palm branches, and he's riding on a donkey and colt, and all of a sudden he enters the temple. And Jesus, as he enters the temple, he enters the church. It says this in Matthew 21, verse 12. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of robbers. And we often use this scripture to kind of bring across or justify some kind of anger. And I love it that it's actually in all four Gospels. So it's an important historical event that all four writers felt like, I need to write about this. But it's also very interesting that actually the word anger, it never appears in the story. It says he did something. I know in my Action Bible, he looks just like he's raging mad. He's just like, all of a sudden, he, you know, just became the Hulk or something, just started chucking stuff and throwing people out. It's awesome. He's whipping people. But it doesn't say that he's actually flipping out angry. He is upset at a situation. That's what I want to focus on. He's upset at what happened or what's happening there. He's not upset at people. There's a big difference there. So again, that's Mark's or Matthew's perspective. Let's flip over to Mark, Mark chapter 11. Let's see it through Mark's eyes and how he presents the same story. Mark chapter 11, verse 11. Jesus entered Jerusalem, went into the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was late, through Mark's eyes, they went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. I'm going to just move past these couple of verses. I'm not interested in the fig tree and the withering this morning. The point I want to make here is on reaching in verse 15, Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. Then he began to overturn the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers'?" I like it through Mark's perspective for one reason. I can relate to this. He walks into an environment in the church like he is not a happy camper, what's going on in there. But he goes out, he takes a sleep, and he comes back the next day, it says, very clearly there. Where anger is not justified and right in our minds, and we'll look at this a little bit more through Paul's perspective in later Gospels. If something's affecting you so much so that you cannot find rest or sleep, that's a significant situation here that's not said, but it's very much implied. That Jesus was able to go, even though he was frustrated about what was happening in his church, he was able to find some rest. You know, sometimes we're so bound up in our anger and our emotions that we actually feel nauseous. It's like our stomach's in a knot and we can't actually eat. It's like, I'm so frustrated, I can't even eat right now. Do you hear that in Jesus' language? In the characteristic of Jesus? Yeah, he's upset. He's rightfully upset, but he still has peace. He can still find rest, and he can still replenish his body so that he can perform the next day for the things that God's called him to do. There's the big difference right there. So if we are bound up in our anger and our frustration, well, we got to let go. We got to let Jesus carry it. It's only going to hurt you in the long run. And I want to show you that clearly in Scripture. We can trust what God is doing, even though it's difficult to witness some things that go on in our lives. I want to look at it now. So we looked at a couple Gospels. As I was saying, I want to look at Paul. And so Paul, you know, started, you know, Jesus shows up, big Holy Spirit moment, the church starts, and then Paul starts going around kind of planting churches. Let's move forward to Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 4. So now Paul is planting churches, and Paul's going to reiterate, or he's going to get back to this characteristic of Jesus and about the emotion of anger. He's going to kind of point it out. He's going to say why it's important and how it can affect us. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, it says this, "In your anger." Okay, so it's a real emotion. I'm really going to feel this. It doesn't say, don't be angry. It's never going to happen. If you, now I got Jesus in my pocket, I don't get angry anymore. Can anyone attest to that? Let me see a hand. Online? Yeah, right. You're kidding me. You're going to get angry. It's just reality. I want to share a story with you. It's going to be fun. Don't let the sun go down, though. Oh, there it is. Well, you're still angry, just like Jesus. He was upset, but he was able to still go through it. And don't give the devil a foothold. Whoa, there it is right there. Why is it so important? Would you ever want to give the devil a foothold in your life? No. Okay, so when you go away on vacation, what do? You lock the house. You get it all ready. You got somebody checking on your house, watering the plants, make sure your hot water tank doesn't burst or whatever. Like you close up shop. You don't go on vacation and leave the front door open a little bit. And then you come back and your 85-inch TV, it's gonzo, man. Like it's long gone. Your computer, your laptop, your iPad, all gone, jewelry gone. And then you phone the cops and you say, hey, somebody broke into my house. They say, well, what were you doing? Well, yeah, I went on vacation, just left the front door open, I just thought, yeah, it's all good. The police would be like, what's wrong with you? Don't do that. It's the same in your own personal life. If you allow anger in your life to resonate with you and sit with you and you mull it over for days and days, you are giving the devil a foothold in your life. Why would we do that? Don't do that. It makes no sense. Let me say it a different way. I have a house. Why would I allow the enemy in the area of a bedroom or a closet? Because he has access to my whole house then. The whole house needs to be clean. If there's anything in your house that is unclean or unspiritual, you have to get rid of it. We don't want to give any space to that. I want you to think about, like, I have four children, and I have a wife, and I have a mortgage and a minivan and all these kind of things. Why would I give the enemy a foothold in any area of that? Because if I have anger, I have anger in my heart. I'm upset at something or someone, and it gives a foothold for my whole life. And it would allow the enemy to come in and to thwart with my marriage or my kids or my finances or all those kind of things. Why would I do that? I wouldn't do that, would I? We can say that, but then do we actually live it? It challenges me. I'm sharing this message because it's convicted me, and I really hope that it challenges you at the same time. I would never want to give that dirty old a foothold in any area of my life. So I cannot accept and allow anger. But then things happen in your life, for crying out loud. Fry you sometimes. Okay, now I want to tell you a story. It's a real story. I have no judgment against the people or the industry or the place I went to. I just need to say the story. I'm not upset at anybody. Why am I telling you this? I promise you I'm not. In the moment, I was upset. Okay, so I went to take a knowledge test at the motor vehicles. There are some great people that work down there. It's nobody's fault. I go down there, and they're like, oh, we're not doing that today. You have to come back a different day. I had studied for hours. I'm like, you're kidding me. Okay, book me in next week or whatever. So you book next week. Then I study again, and I go down there, and they're like, okay, you actually need to make this phone call to make this happen. I said, oh, yeah, give me the phone, you know, whatever. 1-800-BLEH. So I'm phoning this number. I'm out in the parking lot of motor vehicle. I'm phoning this number. I don't know where this person is. Then they're like, we actually can't help you. I said, why did you give me this phone number then? I could transfer you to the person that can help you. Great, transfer me, for crying out loud. That person can't help me. Then they say, you need to phone the local motor vehicle branch. I'm like, great. You know, 250, whatever. I'm in the parking lot, in my car, talking to the person inside a motor vehicle. I'm frustrated for no... I go home, I'm telling my kids this whole experience, and I remember it just came out of my mouth and said, if I don't stop talking about this, it's just going to keep wasting time. And I'm like, I need to stop talking. And here I am, like, weeks later, still talking about it. I'm actually okay. Please pray for me. You know, I'm having some fun with you. But like, you've had these experiences, right? We can laugh about it now, but in the moment, you ain't laughing. I was not laughing. I was old school, hot under the collar, they would say, right? And so I was like, well, I really need to let this go. Like, why do I need to let it go? For the exact reason we just read. I would never want to give the enemy any more of my valuable time. Like, I want to spend time with my wife and my kids and hang out with you guys versus grumbling. There's no value in there. There's nothing that's going to positive that will come out of that. And so when the Apostle Paul says get rid of, like, not just kind of some of the anger, like, just it says all your anger. Because in life we somehow justify up here something that's not a biblical principle in here. We start justifying acceptable anger. Let me give you some examples. You know that clown that parks in two parking spots? What a turkey. Like, there's lines for a reason, people. Or they use capitals on every text and every email with exclamation points all over it. It's like they're yelling at you. You're like, what are you doing? It's like when they hit reply all to an email when it's just personally about the two of you. You're thinking, and you're full, ding, 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 ding. I was like, I got to get out of this conversation somehow. We know that, right? It's frustrating at times. Or when you get on the plane, which I hope to do soon, and the guy next to you is like, armrest is mine. And you're just like, I feel like I'm hemmed in. You both are taking the armrest? Like, you're allowed to be angry at that, right? But like, no, you're not. And I've just read it in so many ways. In the last month when I was preparing for this message, I was reading a book, and it was just like, wow. And I was reading this other book, and it was like, brilliant. And I was reading some scripture. I was like, oh, man, the Lord's just making it so, so clear to us. It's really fun to unpack together. So Paul, who is inspired by God to write this verse, says we have to get rid of all of our anger. Watch what it goes on to say, why it's so important. Ephesians 4, we're still there, verse 29 onward. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Oh, man. You know what that word any is? It means all. Don't let it come out of there. But only what's helpful for building each other up towards their, according to their needs, sorry. That it may benefit those who listen. Wow, grumbling and complaining is just, that's not going to benefit anybody. Don't look at that word right there. We use this scripture so often. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Wow, that's another thing that we do when we do that. With whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all of it. Not just a bit of it. Bitterness. Look at that word there. Rage. The word we're talking about today. Anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Instead of that, be this way in verse 32. Be kind. Be compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Jesus Christ, God himself, gave himself for you and I. That's why we're celebrating this morning, 91 years of history. It's what God has done for us. That's what we're celebrating. Give each other lots of grace. Give each other lots, especially for your pastor, lots of grace, lots of forgiveness, right? I never intentionally want to hurt anybody, but just lots of just understanding for each other. Let me look at a couple verses here this morning that actually speak about Jesus being angry. It uses this word. So let's go to Mark now. We were there a little while ago. Let's go back. Mark chapter 3. There's just two quick stories I want to show you here, scriptures, where it actually says Jesus is angry. It says right in the scripture. And so I want to just sit on that for a minute and just, it's a real emotion. He felt it. And what was it for and why? So Mark chapter 3, just right in verse 1. Another time he went into the synagogue, a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on a Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "What is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil or to save or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed with their stubborn hearts. He said to them, "And stretch out your hand." Stretch it out, and his hand was completely restored. Jesus was not angry at people. He was angry at a system. Because in their mind, they had made up this system that on the Sabbath, no healing. And so Jesus is speaking into that system in their mind that's corrupt and wrong. Why wouldn't Jesus want to heal on the Sabbath day? He's allowed to do that. Does it say he was angry at people? He said, I'm going to get these clowns, you know, at the end of time, there's going to be some big judgment on these guys here. He's angry at a situation and a system, not individuals, not people. That's the big context we've got to take away from this. People were not getting healed on the Sabbath with their system. He was frustrated with that kind of a system. It upset him. So is that okay to be upset and angry at a system? I think we are. Is it people that we're upset with? That's my challenge to us. Is it okay to be angry at a person or angry at a situation or a system or a structure? Let's stay in the same book, Mark chapter 10. I love this one so good. This is like Sunday school right now. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. It says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked these people. Jesus saw what was happening. He became, the word is indignant, yeah, up there too as well, but it actually means, it's just a form of anger. He said to them, let the little children come to me and don't hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Again, do you think Jesus, I mean, at times, yes, he was upset with his disciples, let's be honest. Was he angry at his disciples at points? Possibly. But he's upset at the system that the disciples thought that Jesus was here to heal and to save people. These flipping little kids out of here. These kids are a waste of my time. Blah. Right? It's a church. I keep all these kids quiet. You know, I've been quiet. This is a holy of holies, you know, no coffee, no kids, no anything, no life, no Holy Spirit either. Like, what are we doing here? Jesus, again, he's not upset at the people, but he's upset at the thinking that the people have about kids, how they view kids. Kids are a blessing from the Lord. Jesus wants to pray for them, you know, speak into their lives. That's what he's upset with. That's the problem. You know, just for fun, just a little side shoot here. You know, like on a long weekend and the gas price on Friday goes up, You can be upset at that system. Like, why are we doing that? You just squeezing every nickel out of me, right? So, some of us this morning, I really felt heavy on my heart to say this, though, is that, hey, I don't know what brought you here today or years ago or even recently. Please don't be upset. I don't know why you moved to Terrace or maybe why you transferred to this church or why you feel like this is your home. You're very welcome here. I love you. I'm so grateful you're here. But please don't be angry, upset at somebody that maybe caused you or something happened that caused you to move to this church. Please don't give any room for that. Don't allow anger to well up inside of you. Please show lots of forgiveness for people or other churches or whatever went on. The word of God is so clear to us. We just can't be upset at people. You can be upset at a system. You can be upset at a situation, absolutely. But don't take it out on people. Because when you come to this house, we are trying our absolute best to be the healthiest, the most, you know, focus on the word, worship, love for each other, compassion, forgiveness. And so you've entered that kind of an environment. So please don't bring with you anger. Let it go. It's only hurting you. Maybe there's one person need to hear that. I don't know why. I just need to say that loud. Love you guys, as, you know, however that lands. Because what happens often is that, I'll use some language around it, because there's so many hits on this if you looked it up about anger. Like, you could just blow up. I just completely blow up. You could blow a gasket, blow your top, blow a fuse, like kind of mechanical kind of thoughts. You can fly off the handle. You can lose it, lose your stuff, go ballistic. You could drive you up a wall. You can be thrown into a fit, and my favorite, you kind of wig out. Like, I did that the other day a little bit. Yesterday, I was wigging out, I gotta be honest with you. It was my birthday, and so for my birthday, I got a bracelet. This hospital bracelet. Like, come on. I'm like, on my birthday, like, you gotta be kidding me, man. So on my birthday yesterday, I'm in ER. And my lower abdomen it's still very swollen today. Please don't kick me. It's an infection. I don't know what's going on. So I was like, well, I'm not getting better, so I need to go to the hospital. So I'm in ER on my birthday. So I just wanted to remind you of that situation. I have lots. Now, hey, let me say this first. I love the hospital. I'm one of the chaplains at the hospital. I love visiting people at the hospital. I don't like being a patient at the hospital. There's some great, all the people work, they're so good. I have nothing against the people that I ran into. It was the situation. Did I say it was on my birthday? Just in case I wasn't clear yet. But so anyway, I go in, get the bracelet. They're so good, they're so gentle. You know, needles, oh, thank you, wonderful. Antibiotics are like, this antibiotic, just in case I forgot to tell you, for a whole week. You can't be in the sun, because that'll mess up your skin. It'll just, you can't be in the sun. Like, it's finally warm out. Have you looked on your phone recently? There's just these yellow balls. Those are called suns. And it's out for a long time now, and it's 20. You know that? That's like warm. And I can't go in it. And the lady says, happy birthday. Like, are you serious? But can I just put a little icing on the cake for a second? Did you know on your birthday when you go there, they will give free rectal exams as well? And I thought, sign me up. Like, I'm like, no. She's putting the glove on. I'm like, oh, no, please, no. Like, I was like, it's my birthday, though. Can we just avoid, like, what? Like, there was some emotion in me. Can I just say that? Not at a person. At a situation that's very real and very emotional. And I'm a little emotional about it still. Can I get back to the whole reason? Why are we here this morning? It's my own birthday today. I will celebrate at some point in the future. But Jesus walked into a temple. He walked into the church, and he was frustrated with a system. He started flipping tables over. He chased those money changers out of there. Why did he do that? Why was it so important to him? Those money changers represented a system that was broken. Jerusalem, on average, was its regular attendance, or its regular, population was 40,000-ish. You know, it was like a tourist kind of place. You can imagine at certain seasons of the year, it's like 250,000. It's like 250,000 people are there. Now, for those people that are ungodly, they would look at this opportunity going, cha-ching, I'm going to take advantage of this situation. So as people traveled to Jerusalem to worship God in the temple, they were ripping them off. They were taking their money. They were making it so that they couldn't even afford to go and worship God. And Jesus hated that system. He was angry at that system. So he flipped the tables over and started chasing these kind of people out. There is a system in the world. There are so many, and so I'm going to be careful of how many I touch on this morning, because it can get us emotional. There is a system that goes on in our country. When I did ministry up in Inuvik and Tuktoyaktuk, Northwest Territories, when I lived in Whitehorse, where when you walked on the shelf, now this was 20 years ago, if you wanted a fresh watermelon, it was $35. And it wasn't even a big, it was one of those small ones. A jug of milk is like $20. That was way back in the day. A stick of cheese was $20. All of these kind of fresh things were astronomically priced. But did you know, if you have any kind of addiction like to alcohol or tobacco, or it was the same price as you could find anywhere in Canada. That system is broken. I have a question. The government subsidizes that so that if people have an addiction, they can afford it. But there's no subsidization for groceries and food. And then you wonder why people are like, I can't afford milk because I can buy 2 15-packs at the same price. And I questioned the government authority on that. I ran into one of the people and I said, "What? I don't understand this." His response to me, I will never forget. He said, "Do you know if we subsidized food and not those addictive things, people couldn't afford that, and it would cause maybe a bit of an outbreak. And so we like the way the system's working because it provides counselors and abuse people and all these government officials. So if we switch it, they might lose their jobs." I'm sorry, like, I get angry at that kind of stuff, man. Like, we are like giving people things that keep them bound and held down. Like, that system is broken. And I get emotional about that because people are hurting and suffering. And I struggled with those kind of addictions when I was younger. And we need to help people to get free of that. And when our governmental system, not a person, keeps using tax dollars like that, I get angry. And I'm online, and so I'm careful with what I say right now. But that kind of stuff flips me out, and I wig out a little bit, if that's okay to say. But again, Jesus was not upset at the people. He's not upset at a system of those money changers ripping people off so that they couldn't go to church, in a sense. So when we get angry, again, make sure we're getting angry at the right things. Now, please don't go, I'm not giving you permission to flip out and go crazy and do something radical. That's not what I'm promoting here at all. Love our government, love our country. But just know where you're kind of justified in not being in agreement with something versus being angry at people. Don't do that. Don't blame people. Don't take vengeance on people. That's not what we're promoting here today. What am I trying to get across here, really importantly, too? When you think about people that infuriate you or frustrate you, did you know that those people were created in God's image? Did you know that Jesus Christ went to the cross for that person that frustrates you? Do you know that they are his son and his daughter? It's the same way, the same emotion that I would have. I have 4 kids and a wife. If somebody did something to them, how would I feel? Well, I don't even know if I would be able to control myself. I'd be so angry, so frustrated. So when we get frustrated and angry at God's people, every single human being, we're getting upset at his children, and how does he feel about that? That's something you have to palate. I'm going to just leave you with that for a second. So again, let's make sure we're not angry at any person. We're angry at systems versus individual people. Only because I watched it last night, I just want to go here for a second. Like on the news again, there was just more shootings. It just feels like it's just a natural thing now. Like, I'm upset at that because it hurts people. I'm upset that people want to hurt other people. I'm upset at that whole system, but it's almost become justified. It becomes like just common practice, or it just becomes normalized in some sense. It's not. Super wrong. You know, human beings are of great value. Again, they're sons and daughters of the Most High. We have to honor them. We have to value them. We have to care for them. We don't judge them, and we don't disregard them. Why, again, was Jesus so upset when he came into the temple and he's flipping tables over? It was because the poor, the marginalized, the blind, the sick, the lame, they couldn't even go to church because they couldn't afford to get in to worship God because there was some kind of a system that wouldn't allow them in. You know, if we ever have some kind of a, you know, check-in system here, like, oh, you're allowed in here today, or you're not allowed. Imagine in our sanctuary. You could come in the sanctuary, you're nicely dressed. You're not looking so good this morning. You have to go in the overflow room, in the fireside room, or, you know, you're at a certain age. You have to go downstairs, or, you know, you didn't bring the right kind of coffee. You can't, like, are you kidding me? Like, that kind of thinking or that kind of system is so broken, and we have to get free of it. I want to show you just the final point here. So let's go back to Matthew, the very first story we read. And I almost feel like I want to apologize for my passion about this, but I'm not apologizing. This system is broken. We get angry over the wrong things. We get angry at people, and it's like we feel like we're justified because we see anger as an emotion. It's real. But please don't get angry at people. The enemy, it gives a foothold for him. It messes up our lives, and we just keep talking about, we're all bound up. I don't want us bound up, church. I want us free in Jesus' name. It actually probably robs us of our ability to worship because we're just angry. You ever try and do anything positive when you're angry? Yeah, right. It's like give that wide berth, you know, give them lots of space. You hear the door slamming, things going around. You know that when you're angry, you're not probably thinking clearly anyways. You're robbing your ability to worship God, whether it's through music, whether it's through generosity, whether it's through serving, whether it's through... It's really, really important we get this. Matthew 21, verse 14. He flips over the tables. He's driving the money changers out so that this can happen. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he did what to them? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Everybody that is able to come into the presence of God has the opportunity to be saved and to be healed. Why would we ever put up a stumbling block for that person? Why would we ever not make them welcome? That just makes no sense at all. Let's continue to read, because this is the flip side of it, okay? Be like Jesus' characteristic. Let's not be like I'm challenging us with. Verse 15, when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, Jesus did, the children started shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of David, and they were indignant, which is angry. Who was angry? The chief priests and the teachers of the law. Don't you hear what these children are saying and ask them? Jesus replied, have you ever heard, for the lips of children, infants have been ordained for praise? Yes! Hallelujah. So God made a way for everybody to be welcomed into his house so that they could be saved and that they could be healed. And the kids recognize that. The kids start singing. So often we get older, we get all these kind of ideas up here, you know, things that are wrong or right or, you know, justified with this and anger that. Kids are usually don't have any of that kind of context at that point in their lives. They're just like, look what Jesus did. Isn't Jesus awesome? Aren't kids like that? We take our kids on holidays, aren't we like this? And we're like, you just watch your kid, and it's like, there's like a snow cone or something. It's like, wow, it's like the best thing they've ever had in their life. Like, Dad, look at these flowers. Look at how cool that is. Or they're like, oh my gosh, there's this owl in the tree. Or there's like, hey, look at that little salmon. Or there's a little fry, and they're catching the little fries, right? Kids are just having an awesome time no matter what's going on in their world, because that's their viewpoint. And it's the same here. Their viewpoint towards Jesus is like, Jesus is awesome. Jesus just flipped tables over. That was actually really cool, actually. And then he's healing people. Isn't that amazing? But the chief priests and the religious leaders of the day are thinking the wrong thoughts about their anger. They're angry at what Jesus is doing. Are you crazy? What Jesus is up to, they're angry at that. Lots of times, I shouldn't say lots, sometimes in our life, things don't seem to be going Jesus' way in my life. Things come at us, sicknesses, phone calls, whatever's going on in our life. It doesn't seem like Jesus is on the throne or he's in control. This doesn't line up with Jesus in my mind. So we become angry, become frustrated. We think there's something wrong with yourself or with the situation. But God is on the throne. Don't be like these other people. Be angry at that stuff. Be angry at things that are systems. Don't be angry at people. Love God. I hope that made sense. Thanks for letting me share that with you. I was really excited about that thought. I just want to kind of bring us to the communion table now. We're going to kind of shift gears a little bit as we kind of pivot away from this. I'm going to ask my lovely daughter Celeste to come to the keys now. If you can just start playing, and then I'll give you a nod or something when you can start singing, that'd be awesome. So last Friday, it was just a couple days ago, there was a praise and worship night here, and so I don't know where Simon and Sandra are, if they're coming to the second service, but they led that on Friday night. It was so good. I was so sick, so I couldn't come, but here's a picture of it. So praise and worship night, which was just majestic, which led us into a 24-hour Bible read. So I know a bunch of us signed up, so thank you for signing up for that. I can't wait to get to heaven, to meet some people in heaven that were like, hey, when you guys did that 24-hour Bible, read over Terrace, over Thornhill, it changed my life. And I didn't know why it changed my life till I got to heaven. Because something was deposited in people, in Jesus' name, when we read his word out loud over our community. Things were broken in Jesus' name. People were healed in Jesus' name. And people will start showing, you might even be here today, this morning. You might be here because you just felt compelled this morning, like you had never felt before, because Jesus did something in you because we read his word out loud. That's what we're celebrating this morning. When we think about 91 years again, like that's a rich history. That's proud to be a part of. That's exciting. But the most exciting thing is a person. And his name is Jesus. And he went to the cross and he died for you. He took all of your mistakes, all of your sins, he put it on upon himself, he died and he rose again so that we could be free. So what do you want to celebrate after 91 years? I'm going to celebrate Jesus. And so we're going to come to the communion table in a moment and do things a little bit differently this morning. I just want you to reflect. Again, we've sung together, we've heard scripture, I've shared a message with you. Maybe there's some things going on that you want to just reflect upon for a moment. My daughter Celeste is going to sing a song, so we're going to have 3 or 4 minutes to just sit and reflect. And whatever it is that's going on in your heart, in your mind, you just got to give it to you. Can't carry this on my own, I can't do this on my own, I need your help. Jesus, would you help us? Holy Spirit, would you help us? Would you guide us and counsel us and comfort us in Jesus' name? God, we trust you. You're a good Father, and you give good gifts. Lord, I don't want to be yoked to this anger anymore. I don't want to be attached to this anger anymore. I don't want the enemy to have a foothold in my life anymore. I want to break that chain in Jesus' name. Break the stronghold right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.